Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another Sabbath.
Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al, Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. It's been a while, so I'm just going to give a brief reminder. Grab all your study tools, your iPads, notepads, your highlighters, your pens, your pencils. But most importantly, grab your Bible so that you can go over the scriptures that we go over and see what the Father opened your eyes to as we go along on this lesson for the day. I'm going to start off with a brief prayer. Oh, if you can hear me, send a shout out or send a thumbs up. Let me know that you can hear me. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day, another day to give you honor, give you praise. Another day to be thankful that Yahushua has led and guided us throughout the course of this week and encouraged us the wonders of your word to those on whom we came in contact with. Thank you, Father, for the lessons and the blessings that you allowed us to experience throughout the course of this week. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Father, we thank you for the joy that you've brought to our hearts, for the health and the strength that you've given us, for another opportunity to sup with you on this Sabbath day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat Shalom once again. I'm your host, Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation, and this is another session of Can It Be That Simple? And subject matter for this particular session is sacrifice. What is it to you? And before we get into the lesson of the night, just want to, briefly bring everybody up to speed because it's been a long 6 weeks. And last time we had an opportunity to speak, it was during Sukkot. And as you know, we're just coming out of, Hanukkah. But let's go back to Sukkot. We were talking, and during that time, we were, in the Feast of Ingathering, and we were functioning as a family and coming together before the winter months begun. And as now, we're in the winter months. We just come out of Hanukkah, like I said, and as we know, Hanukkah is a celebration of dedication, dedicating ourselves to the Most High. And so, ironic that, this lesson is on sacrifice and sacrifice as it pertains to you as an individual. And throughout the course of the lesson, we probably go through a couple of definitions of what sacrifice is, how sacrifice is defined. But before we get into the lesson, just have to go over, a little brief update, what I've been going through as an individual and how the Father has been molding me to be a better servant for him and be a better teacher for him and be a better, husband to my wife and a better friend to my people, can't say people I associate with because associates are what they are. Associates, they're not friends. They're just people you know. But, to be a better friend to my friends. And, one of the things that I've been experiencing is expecting goodness out of people who are not good. And, I've ran across that situation a couple of times where you expecting people to do good for the sake of doing good. And it don't work. You know, it's just like one time me and the wife got into a conversation, and she said, you know, you don't go to Satan and ask him and expect him to do something good for you. And that's how I'm, you know, that's how I started realizing this particular situation that I was in. I was going to some unrighteous people and expecting them to do righteousness, you know, and, you know, it caused a level of frustration. And, you know, I was choosing to be frustrated. But, you know, the Father, you know, as you go through his word and ponder his word and stay in his word, he brings you up out of that and brings you to an understanding that, you know, righteousness only comes from him and those in whom he's chosen. And those who choose to want to be righteous. So that's where, you know, the beginning of this lesson is going to go into is righteousness and being, doing things for righteousness' sake. And when we do things for righteousness' sake, we're not worrying about the repercussions or the reciprocation. Why? Because we're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And one of the things that we will understand, you know, that we should understand about Yahushua, that's what he did. He did things for righteousness' sake, for the goodness of doing good, for the goodness of showing his love for the Father, for the good of being obedient to the Father. And ultimately, that is our goal, or it should be our goal, to be obedient to the Father, to do things for the sake of doing them, because the Father would like us to do them. So we're going to start off, you know, not real, you know, so before we get, you know, I got another thing. A lot of times when we as individuals, we, you know, we're chatting about commitment. Sometimes we always have a person say, talk is cheap, easier said than done. The proof is in the pudding. And this is something that I tend to say, you know, when the rubber hits the road, people tend to hydroplane. That means they skid off and fly, you know, they fly off into some other direction, you know, because they get caught on the water and the water takes them wherever, you know. So when we deal with commitment, commitment is something that we really have to buckle down within ourselves and understand why we're doing what we're doing. And so that's where the whole idea of sacrifice comes into play, because we know that Yahushua sacrificed himself for humanity's sake. And so as a result, when Yahushua becomes a part of us, we're supposed to be doing the same exact thing, sacrificing ourselves for humanity's sake, doing righteousness for righteousness, doing good for the sake of doing good, despite what people want to say. So we're going to start off in a couple of, you know, we're going to start off in Genesis chapter 5. And it reads, Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was continually only evil. So when we deal with the man in his heart, that means his morals and his fiber, his moral fiber was wicked, was constantly wanting to do wrong, was constantly wanting to do the opposite of goodness, which is evil. But we know and understand that in order to be balanced, we have to know both good and evil. Good and evil. But he wants our minds to choose good. So he gives us a method in order to do that. We're going to go to Psalms 119, verse 9 to 16. And in your Bible, it should have the letter Bet. And when we look at the letter Bet, that is the house. See, because we belong to a family, the family of the Father, the family of Yah. And in this family, there's things that we're required to do if we're going to stay in the house of Yah. So we're going to start at verse 9, and it reads, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the ordinances of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimonies. As much as all in riches, I will meditate on your precepts and consider your way. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Telling us how we can change our thoughts from being continually thinking of wickedness. Morally showing wickedness by keeping our minds focused on the commandments and the ordinances and the statutes and the testimonies and the precepts that have been taught throughout the scriptures that have been reiterated from time and time and time again, teachers of the words. From the prophets to the priests to the teachers to the apostles to father, from father to son, from husband to wife, from wife to children. These precepts have been being passed down, teaching us and giving us the tools necessary to be right in the eyes of the Most High. From here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. And the Father, you know, led me to this particular scripture in regards to this whole, this thought. It's because now we're looking at this modern time. And every wind or every situation that's coming up, you have Israel wondering about it, being diverted, being distracted from the foundation of the word, from standing in the word and holding true to the word and grabbing and bringing the word closer to you, or realizing that the word is already in you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. Do not fear sudden danger or the ruin that overtakes the wicked. Israel, don't get caught up in the foolishness that these wicked people are being subject to. They're being subject to this thing because this is what they are reaping what they sowed. They're reaping what they sowed. And if it doesn't apply to you, don't worry about it. Because if we're under the eagle's wings of the Father, he's protecting us from it. He showed us that when he reiterates in his word about what happened in Egypt. If we as Israel believe in the Torah, believe in the word, we understand that doing those plagues touch Israel. Because they were in Goshen. And it says there was light in Goshen. the light of life. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. And it reads, "Do not call conspiracy everything these people regard as conspiracy. Do not fear. Do not live in dread." There's no reason for us to be afraid. He prepares us. He tells us what to do beforehand. Let's just be obedient to what's being told. Let's just believe in what his prophets and what his teachers are passing on to us. And just sit back and watch. At the same time, keeping yourself grounded in his word, meditating on his word, not getting caught up in your own isms and schisms. Because sometimes we get rid of some isms, we get rid of some schisms, but then we go back and grab them up again. See, because we didn't really, really get rid of them. We didn't throw them in that fire and burn them up. We just put them in that storage bin for another time, for another place. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. And it reads, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I looked this word persecuted up because I, you know, really, you know, need to get an understanding of persecuted. Now, I mean, I looked it up. It had the definition of being harassed, treated unfairly. Why? Why are they treating us unfairly? Why are they harassing us? Because the righteousness that we're standing for is not the wickedness that they're encouraging. And when they see the righteousness that we are doing, it goes contrary to their standards of living. It goes contrary to their moral fiber. Because the morals that we're striving to show are the morals of the one who laid his life down for us. Because we have those morals growing in us. From here, we're going to go to 1 Peter. And we've heard this scripture quite often. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. And it reads, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify Yahushua in your heart. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you with humility and fear, having a good conscience, thus, while you are spoken against as evildoers, they may be disappointed who curse your good ways, your good way of life in Yahushua." And seeing this is going back to doing things for righteousness' sake. You know, because we're doing it in good conscience and understanding that we chose to do this, which takes us back to, you know, in Genesis, when we talk about Cain and how Yahweh sat down with him and said, look, Cain, if you do well, you'll get well. See, that's what we go through on a daily basis. Do we want to do well? Or do we want to go, or do we not want to do well? If we're doing well in the eyes of the Most High, then the world is going to persecute us. Then the world is going to punish us. based on their unrighteous standards. But we understand and know that this is the choice that we made. From here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. We've been through this scripture before. And it reads, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws in their inward parts, and I will write them, and I will write it in their heart. I will be their mighty one, and they shall be my people." The Father took me here because originally when Israel was giving them some covenants for their Ten Commandments, those Ten Commandments were wrote on stone. And see, the stony heart of man causes him not to do the word, not to take hold of them. Why? Because his heart is not in tune with the Father. Not in tune with the Father. So when we go through the scriptures and we look at the sacrificial system, see, the sacrificial system was given. Humanity's heart was hard, and they couldn't just do things right for the sake of doing things right. So they would go and grab these animals, these innocent animals, and put their hands on them and put their sin on them, and then they would slaughter these animals. But as we learn in the scriptures, they never changed. They just kept killing animals over and over and over again and not changing mentally. Their moral fiber was not changing. So this is one of the reasons why the Father said, "I will write them on their inward parts. I will write them on their hearts." Their moral fiber will change. Because it's no longer looked upon on those stony tablets, but it's something that's resonating inside you that's causing you to do the right thing and pricking you when you do the wrong thing. Because it becomes a reminder to you because it's in you to do right. These laws and these statutes and these moral principles are in you. So when you go contrary to them, they let you know, hey. And because he utilized humanity to help humanity do right, he has sent somebody your way and let you know and ask you a question about something that you may have done. From here, we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 28. And it reads, "I will also give you a new heart, and I will put my new spirit within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my ordinances and do them. You will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your mighty one." See, the Father will do that for us. He changes us. He changes our moral fiber. He changes our heart so that we can receive the goodness of his word. He said, "I will cause you to do these things." So now what is he doing? He is maneuvering us to do the right thing, understand the goodness of his laws, statutes, and judgments. From here, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. And it reads, "Being revealed that you are a letter of Yahushua, served by us, written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living mighty one, in tablets of stone, but in the tablets that are hearts of flesh. Understanding that we are a letter. How are we a letter? Our example, other people, our life, other people. It's like a letter to someone. When you sit down and tell your story, tell your life experiences, we become that testimony for someone else to bring them closer to the righteousness of the word of Yah, to the righteousness of Yahushua. Because that is within us. Yahushua is within us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. And we recently just came out of Hebrews, and we did a study on it. We went through the whole book of Hebrews. And one of the things that I gathered from when we went through Hebrews is the reminder to the Hebrews of what they have been taught over the years and what they have forgotten over the years, and to remind them to get back on track. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. And it reads, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the mighty one. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will also write them on their heart. I will be their mighty one, and they will be my people." So in this particular scripture, I've seen the word mind, and I also seen the word heart. So I looked into them, and, you know, when you look at the word mind, it's really depicting the understanding that man has, or Israel has, standing of his word, of his truth. And then when it talks about the heart, it's dealing with moral fibers. So it's through our understanding of what needs to be done that we morally do these things. Yeah, as you know, what it says, the old saying, you kill the mind, the body will die. Why? Because the mind controls the body. So it's that mind giving you that understanding and causing you to do the right thing. So from here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. And it reads, "For while you were yet weak, at the right time, Yahushua died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, yet perhaps someone would even dare to die. But Yah commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Yahushua died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we will be saved from Yah's wrath through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yah of his son, much more being reconciled, we will be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also rejoice in Yah through our Savior, Yahushua, in whom we have now received the reconciliation." See, when we believe in Yahushua, we understand. And we understand because Yah has opened our mind to understand what Yahushua has done. And when we understand what Yahushua has done, then we are supposed to be little Yahushuas in this world and share what he has done for us to other people so that they too can offer themselves up just as we have offered ourselves up for righteousness' sake. And we understand that we're human, but we also understand that we must do the right thing. From here, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 50, verse 14. And now, I want to do something, you know, as you see, I'm doing something different. Because normally I'll start early with definitions and things of that nature. Now we're going to get into a couple of scriptures that I have some definitions for. And we're going to go to Psalms chapter 50, verse 14. And it reads, offer to Yah the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Take your vow to the Most High. And so we're going to look at this word, offer. And in your Hebrew, in the Hebrew section of your concordance, it's 2076. And it's zabak. And it means to slaughter for sacrifice. To slaughter, and then, you know, as primary root, to slaughter an animal, usually in sacrifice. Offer, do, sacrifice, slay. That's from your Hebrew. And I looked it up in your Webster's, and it says, present or proffer something for someone to accept or reject as so desired. So we have to understand that when we offer ourselves up for this walk of life, we are being accepted or we are being rejected. So are we making ourselves that good sacrifice as Cain did? I mean, as Abel did, being corrected. Or are we making ourselves sacrifice like Cain? But even with Cain, he gave him an opportunity to give him a good sacrifice. Are we making sure that we're getting rid of our blemishes that he brings to our attention? Are we doing that? So in another definition, it says to be accepted or rejected as also desired. So I looked the word, proffer. And it means hold out something to someone for acceptance. To present oneself. To make an offer or proposal. See, this is what we do when we offer ourselves up to the Most High, to this way of life. We offering ourselves up. But he tells us what we have to do in order to be a good sacrifice, a good offering. And that is to stay firm in his word, be obedient to what he say, obey his laws, statutes, and judgments. And yeah, like I said in the beginning, it's easier said than done. We have to put in work Another definition for offer is to exhibit, to present something solely or worshipfully, to assimilate a form. So what do we assimilate? We assimilate Yahushua as he offered himself up for our sake, after he gave up his life for our sake. But from here, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. I'm reading from this translation because of how it read really nice. And it reads, and as we know, this is Solomon talking. And it says, when all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this. Fear Yahweh commandment, because this is for all humanity. See, when we read that, well, when I read that, it lets me know that this Torah, that this word, from Genesis to Revelation, and all other books that we've read and realized that the Father used so many different brothers and sisters throughout the millenniums. And it's all for humanity's sake. As we know, when Yahushua laid his life down, he laid his life down for humanity. And the way this reads is letting us know that everyone must stand firm in Torah, must stand firm and understand who Yahushua is in order to make it into the kingdom. But are people willing to sacrifice themselves to get into the kingdom? Are you willing to put your isms and schisms to the side for the sake of getting into the kingdom? Because we can lie to humanity and make humanity think that we're definitely on point. But the Father will send his Spirit down to cleanse you up and bring things to your attention. And it's your choice whether or not you want to use his word to clean yourself up, to present yourself to him as that perfect and good sacrifice. And the only way you can do that is to truly believe in Yahushua and understand what he has sent down through the prophets, through his teachers, through his priests. From here, we're going to go to the last scripture of the day. And it's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it reads, therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of Yah, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yah, which is your spiritual service. And remember I said I did something differently? See, because when Father put this lesson on my mind, I was somewhere, and I had a computer, so I started, going through the computer and writing script, you know, a few scriptures down, but he gave me the word sacrifice up front. So I started there. And then I realized I couldn't, you know, I saved it, but I couldn't find it again. But before I, you know, saved it, I printed it out. So I went looking for it again, and I couldn't find it. So I'm glad I printed it out. So then I started studying again, and it took me another route. So that's why this particular part is at the end, and all the definitions is at the end, because after he took me another route, the end part, the beginning part actually became the end. Like I said, we was going to talk about sacrifice. And so this is my opening scripture. Allegedly it was supposed to be my opening scripture, but now it's my closing scripture. And the term that we're talking about is sacrifice. So in this particular scripture, the term sacrifice is 2378 in your Greek lexicon. And it means it is ousia, and it means a sacrifice, abstract and concrete sacrifice, offering, properly an offering, sacrifice, an official sacrifice prescribed by Yah, hence an offering. Yah accepts because offering offered to him on his terms. So when we talk about offering ourselves to the Most High, we have to do it on his terms. And what is his terms? His laws, statutes, and his judgments. So, where's that piece of his at? So, I looked the term defined sacrifice. And as we read in the earlier, the Hebrew translation, it talks about an act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to the Mighty One, or says to God, or to a divine or supernatural figure. And this is like the Webster's definition. And then also a definition for it is to suffer a loss of, give up, renounce, injure, or destroy, especially for an ideal or belief or end. And that's what sacrifice was. And then I looked up, well, what is the purpose of a sacrifice? So what is the purpose of us sacrificing ourselves? To make an offering of, to consecrate or present to a divinity by way of expiation or appropriation, or as a token, acknowledgement or thanksgiving, to immolate on the altar. So I had to look up the word immolate because I didn't really understand what that word meant. And that word means to burn. When it, you know, so when that thought came to my mind as far as burning on the altar, one of the things came to me was, you know, our isms and schisms. When the Father brings them to our mind, we throw those things on the altar and burn them up so that those things are no longer a part of us. I also looked up the word propitiation, and it means the act of making amends or reparation for guilt or wrongdoing, atonement. So one of the reasons or the purpose of sacrificing ourselves is because we make an atonement for our guilt to the Most High. So being, as we read in the first, you know, first couple of scriptures, we talked about our thoughts being wicked. So when we come to realize and understand that we're changing our ways, so we have to change from our wicked ways to being more righteous. So those wicked and unrighteous ways, we have to throw into the fire and allow them to be burned Procreation is another way or another definition under this word or the purpose of sacrificing. And it means to win or regain the favor of, it says, a God, spirit, person, by doing something that pleases them. So what are we doing? We understand that one of the things that please the Most High is when he when Yahushua took those stripes or took that beating for us, that pleased him, Most High. So if we go through the same thing, it's going to please him also. And it's going to bring us closer to him, because that's bringing us closer to how Yahushua did. And then, as one of our teachers used to say, use your imagination. If we use our imagination and go throughout everyday life and imagining that we're going through this thing for humanity's sake, we're going through this thing because we believe that Yahushua loves us. And we believe that that the Father loves us. And we love Yahushua and we love the Father. And that we understand that this is pleasing him. Pleasing the Father that we're going through this. So we have to understand that if we're sacrificing ourselves according to what pleases him, then we're going to be all right. And we don't have to worry about what's going on in the world. I'm not saying not be aware of what's going on in the world. I'm saying just don't allow it to be a distraction to you. As you standing firm in Yahushua, as you standing on that solid rock, as you standing on that solid foundation, as you build your house in his kingdom right now, and understanding that you're being molded and chiseled so that you can be that lively, one of those lively stones in his house. He wants you to be a strong nation within yourself, so that you can be a strong nation as we combine with one another as this family. We say we're family, we must function as a family, but we have to be one with the Father. We have to be in line to go through that door, which is Yahushua. We've been talking about the end game. We've been talking about the end, and the end is to be one with the Father, allowing the light that dwells within us to merge with the light of the Father, because the light that dwells within us is the light of Yahushua. And we read in the scriptures, he thought it not robbery to be one with the Father. We read in the scriptures, he came from the Father. So family, friends, as you go into the rest of this Sabbath day, just consider what was talked about today. Go over the scriptures and see how they relate in your mind, or how the Father brings to your mind an understanding of these particular scriptures. But these scriptures that he gave me was in regards to sacrifice and understanding that he brought to mind, just brought to me, was that is my spiritual service, to sacrifice myself daily for his purpose, making sure that I am right. Because when we look at the different sacrifices, there were certain things that weren't acceptable. They weren't acceptable. And because they're not acceptable, the Father brings these things to our attention so that we can get rid of them, so that we can be acceptable. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to another Sabbath day. We thank you for supping with us and sitting with us and entering into our homes. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to send thy spirit down, to open our minds and grant us understanding of your truth, of your word, bringing us closer to you through thy Son, Yahushua, helping our unbelief, strengthening in us. Continue to assist us in good health. Continue to bring joy to our minds, to our hearts, to our existence, so that we know that you are there with us. Let us be just like Yahushua said, Father, I know you hear me, but I do this for their sake. Open our mind, open our reality to that, Father, if it be your will. Prepare us to be like that. Prepare us that your spirit dwells within us and overflows our cup, bringing us closer and closer to your reality, which is the reality of thy Son, Yahushua. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to help us. Father, we ask of thee to continue to allow the fruit of thy spirit to rest upon our homes. We ask of thee, O Father, to allow us to put on your whole armor when we leave our homes, so that we are prepared, as we read earlier, to give an answer of why we love Yahushua and why we accept persecution. You said that we were going to be a peculiar people. Let us embrace that peculiar, that aspect of being peculiar. Father, we thank thee for choosing us. Thank you for the roads that you've led us all to. Thank you, Father, for loving us. And may we continue to show you that we love you by offering up praise, by worshiping you how you wish to be worshiped, by doing what you want us to do, by doing what is pleasing in your sight. Father, we thank you once again for thy Son, Yahushua, and what he has done in laying his life down for our sake. We ask of thee to continue to help us to lay our life down for his sake, and uplifting him as we live according to your time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Can you hear me? My phone go off? I'm going to start over. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Yahushua, we praise you, give you honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Israel, may you have a peaceful slumber and enjoy your Sabbath rest. Shabbat shalom.
So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Take my heart, take my life, take my life, have the faith. When the wind starts to blow, when the lightning starts to strike, when the thunder starts to roll, when this life becomes a fight, you are where I put my gloves down. When I'm running out of time, you are where I go to slow down. You you are.